You don't have to live in the St. Louis area to take advantage of the great deals at Concordia Publishing House's annual warehouse sale. You can purchase resources online, November 3rd through the 10th at cph.org. Take advantage of discounted prices on many of the items you hear promoted on issues, etc. during the Concordia Publishing House's online warehouse sale, November 3rd through the 10th, cph.org. Shop online, cph.org.
A lot of people my age like to say, it's not like I'm just for anything goes. I'm against abortion, so I'm pro-life. Marriage is different. Well, the reason they're able to say that today is that 40 years ago, when the pro-life movement came face-to-face with Roe v. Wade, they didn't give up.
The degree to which society can trump God and tell him that he has to shut up about his law makes it more and more difficult for the church then to proclaim a word of mercy and forgiveness.
They pull a bait and switch on people, bring them in the door thinking they're going into a non-denom evangelical church when in fact they're in a Lutheran church. The problem with bait and switch is there's usually a lot of bait and no switch.
I'm Daniel Berquist. I'm from Lincoln, Nebraska, and I'm a Macintosh software engineer. And I love Issues Etc.
There are some things that the media simply doesn't cover. Some things that aren't stories. There are things that are stories that the media doesn't cover, although I will note with some irony that often when you're perusing social media and you see a link to a big story that you won't read in the mainstream media, it's usually a link to some outlet of the mainstream media. That's where we get our stuff. That's why we call it the mainstream media. But how do we explain the relative silence of the media on some rather big stories, especially recently, Islamic persecution of Christians of Middle Eastern descent in the West, and a huge pro-family demonstration in Paris that you might have been able to read about if you were reading a French newspaper, but you didn't read anything about if you were reading, well, the New York Times. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. We're coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. George Cargo will join us to talk about some media coverage of religion here in the first half hour of the program a little bit later. Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer will be our guest. Our series with him, Christ in the Old Testament, Micah Chapter 3, will be our Old Testament location. And then in hour two of Issues Etc., day four of Issues Etc., Reformation Week on this Thursday afternoon, October the 29th, we'll talk about the Lutheran Reformation and music. Dr. Carl Schalk will be our guest, Distinguished Professor of Music Emeritus at Concordia University, Chicago. Join us with questions or comments, 1-877-623-6943. 877-623-6943. Send us an email right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet @issuesetc, or for our beloved on-demand listeners, use the Issues Etc. comment line any time of day or night, 618-223-8382, 618-223-8382. Joining us to talk about the media's relative silence on two stories, Islamic persecution of Christians of Middle Eastern descent in the West, and a pro-family demonstration in Paris, France, George Conger. He formerly served as a British correspondent for the Jerusalem Post and the overseas correspondent for the Church of England newspaper. He's a senior reporter for the Media Project and a contributor to GetReligion.org. George, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Hello, Todd.
On the issue of Islamic persecution of Christians in the West, can you see or detect any kind of rhyme or reason to what gets covered and what doesn't?
Well, my cynical mind tells me that violence perpetrated by Muslims against Christians in the West is seldom, if ever, reported. I'll give you an example. We had these recent shootings in Ottawa, Canada, and the National Post, one of the major Canadian newspapers, the next day had a story warning of a backlash against Muslims for the shooting by a Muslim convert of a Canadian soldier. Whereas we have local news stories in the U.S. and Australia and Europe and Canada of Muslim Arab immigrants from the Muslim world harassing other immigrants from the Muslim world who happen to be Christians. There was a story in out of Australia where some young men started shouting ISIS epithets and outside of a school for Maronite Catholics, and those are the Catholics from Lebanon. and basically saying what we did to you, what we're doing to you in the Levant, we're going to start doing to you in Sydney, Australia. And that sort of stuff very rarely gets picked up by the national media.
When it is, how would you characterize the coverage of that?
There's almost a sense of embarrassment, because the meme that we see in the media is that Islam is a religion of peace. And therefore, when a Muslim does something that doesn't conform to that oft-repeated phrase, Islam is a religion of peace, they're not really Muslims. And so it's not a religion story. It's just a, you know, take the most extreme case, the shooter in Fort Hood. That's a workplace violence case. Even though he was animated by his religious principles, it's not called, they don't call a spade a spade. We recently had that man in Oklahoma City, a convert to Islam, who killed a co-worker with his knife and tried to cut her head off. And that was treated as workplace violence rather than a call to jihad, which this fellow was preaching. There's just a reluctance to face the hard facts that there is a significant portion of the Muslim world that sees this as war against the infidel, and war is to be taken to the enemy. And the press in America and the West doesn't seem to want to report that.
Is there a... well, I guess we'd be talking here now about a kind of a bias in favor. That is, could you establish, based upon the coverage, what gets covered, what isn't, that there's a pattern of bias in favor of kind of giving Islam or someone who's associated, however peripherally, with Islam, the benefit of the doubt that the religion had nothing to do with the crimes they committed?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. If a Presbyterian had shot up the parliament in Canada, you would have seen the talking heads in the television news shows, and you would have seen the New York Times perusing Calvin's Institutes, trying to find what is the key that causes people to want to kill other people. What is Calvin doing to force to warp people's minds? But when you have similar instances where Islamic fundamentalists, Islamic scholars, point to where in the Quran and in the Hadith and the Surah, the authoritative interpretations of the Quran, they are called upon to wage war. They're called upon to act this way. We don't get any of that. Instead, we have softball, sort of Rodney King sort of stuff. Why can't we just all get along? There is a willful blindness about the reality of Islamic extremism. Either it's called an aberration, or these people are not, it's never treated as a legitimate expression of this religion.
You talk about it as a kind of political correctness, but you make a connection between that political correctness and magical thinking. What's your point there, George?
Magical thinking is that Western newspapers engage in sort of a magical thinking that they want the world to be a certain way, and people need to conform to that way of acting and moving and thinking, otherwise their actions are inexplicable. And so if I think really hard and portray these facts and actions in a certain way, I can make things go away if they don't conform to what I want to see. It allows newspapers to ignore major news stories and not have any trepidations about that fact. For instance, one of the major stories this month out of France was a pro-family march that had upwards of several hundred thousand people shutting down Paris and Bordeaux on October 5th. That story made all the French newspapers. The French government caved in and at one point and backed away on a plan to legalize surrogate motherhood, which was one of the protesters' major demands, that it remain illegal. Government crumbled on that, and not a single major American newspaper covered that story. Yet the New York Times, during the same week, had civil rights protests every day from Ferguson, Missouri, or protests in Hong Kong every day, and riots in Ankara, and protests in Yemen and in Egypt. But France, where you had a conservative pro-family demonstration that brought the government, that caused the government to buckle, that was ignored, totally ignored. And what other than magical thinking would impel a newspaper editor to ignore a major political story from France? It's not like this is halfway around the world.
And it's not as though they couldn't have included it in numerous other protests that you mentioned that they're covering.
I know. I mean, we've had 3 or 4 dozen protest stories about the demonstrations in Hong Kong, which, though they're ongoing, they're only about 1/100th of the size of this demonstration in Paris. And I'm not trying to denigrate the protests in Hong Kong. I'm just saying that you have to, at a certain point, say, okay, either these people are so professionally incompetent that they focus on 2 or 3 dozen people in Ferguson, Missouri, and decide to skip 100,000 people in the streets of Paris, or 2,000 students in Hong Kong. Either there's a degree of incompetence there, or they don't want to see what is in front of their faces. And they engage in a magical thinking that if it doesn't conform to their understanding of the world, it doesn't exist or it's not important and doesn't need to be reported.
You have said that on the absence of the France protest story, the Times practices a variation of the Whig interpretation of history, but with a gay twist. Explain that, if you would, George.
Well, every day and in every way, we're getting gayer and gayer, according to the New York Times, and that it's an historical inevitability. Just as the Whig historians in the 19th and 20th century said that the Enlightenment and Western man is a continual step in progress towards a better world, the New York Times has this same worldview in looking at the issue of homosexuality, that it's an historical inevitability. One of the little cutesy phrases being trotted out these days is being on the right side of history, where gay rights are the right side of history, and that will, now that it's been achieved, we're never going to go back because we've seen the light. And this is a specific type of leftist intellectual theory, history from the 19th and 20th century, that is now being applied to sexual politics. It used to be applied to it used to be communism was the future. Socialism was the future. Nazism was the future. We've had all these isms. And now we have the identity politics of the gay rights movement in the United States and in Europe. And the smart people, I'm being sarcastic, the clever people think that this is never going to change. When it could be in a generation from today, we'll look back and say, what were these people thinking? You know, we look back at some of the things that happened in the 60s and 70s and say, what were these people thinking? But at that time, they saw it as being an inevitable product of human rational reason.
Finally then, George, it used to be you could kind of measure how a news outlet weighed a story by how deeply they buried a story in their pages. And those pages, of course, nowadays are getting fewer and fewer, or how close to the top of the page they would allow a story to eventually settle. But now it sounds like this is a different element, and that is you won't find the story at all, and what people don't read about, they don't know about if this is their source of news. What are your final thoughts there?
Well, the joke used to be that if the world was going to end tomorrow, the New York Times headline would say, "World ends tomorrow, blacks and women most severely affected." Nowadays, they would say, they wouldn't even say the world is going to end. They would just spike news that doesn't meet their ideological worldview. This is called propaganda.
George Conger formerly served as a British correspondent for the Jerusalem Post and the overseas correspondent for the Church of England newspaper, and he's senior reporter for the Media Project and contributor to GetReligion.org. George, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you, Todd.
When we come back, Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer will be with us for our weekly series on Christ in the Old Testament. We'll be in Micah chapter 3. We'll begin by making a distinction between the internal and the external word. Stay tuned.
Do you wish your Lutheran school offered Latin, Greek, or logic? What about German or calculus? Right now, local Lutheran schools in two different states are utilizing Wittenberg Academy to expand their course offerings. Whether it's Latin for third graders or logic for seniors in high school, Wittenberg Academy can help. For your homeschooler or for your brick-and-mortar Lutheran school, we have solutions. To find out more, visit wittenbergacademy.org.
Hi, this is Pastor Mark Azil, the LCMS Director of Campus Ministry and LCMSU, inviting all college students and those with an interest in campus ministry to join us for Taboo, the 2015 National LCMS Campus Ministry Conference, this coming January 5th through 7th at St. Louis University in St. Louis. That's right, it's Taboo in the Lou. Find out more at lcms.org/LCMSU.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe the traditional Lutheran preaching, liturgy, and hymnody continue to deliver Christ crucified for sinners today. The Reformation attempted to return the Church's focus on what we do for God back to a focus on what God does for us, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. Some things never change. The gospel is still under attack from inside and outside the Church. To see how Lutheran doctrine and practice preserve the gospel, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
Faith Lutheran Church and School in Plano, Texas preaches Christ crucified. Join us each Lord's Day to hear law and gospel preaching and to receive the Lord's Supper. Our classical preschool through grade 12 Lutheran school is second to none. The school serves home educators, too, with online classes in the high school. We are located at 1701 East Park Boulevard in Plano, Texas. Reach us by phone at 972-423-7448 or on the web at www.flsplano.org.